This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report. Last week, Tesla was worth $51.17 billion at the stock market high, while GM, previously the highest valued U.S. automaker, was worth just $50.18 billion. That's a pretty amazing difference for an automaker that made just 84,000 vehicles last year, compared to GM that made 10 million vehicles. GM is in third place in global sales behind Toyota and VW. GM sold 3.87 million vehicles in China. Tesla expects to sell 500,000 vehicles this year. Tesla has some amazing stuff in its developmental pipeline, like semi-trucks, and mastered self-driving technology. But it takes some imaginary anticipation to monetize that stuff above the real assets and profits of GM. I don't think that Tesla has made an annual profit, and GM made $12.5 billion last year. I like the frank assessment of Tesla's value by the CEO of AutoNation, who said, "Tesla is either one of the great Ponzi schemes of all time, or will eventually work out for investors." Too large gas reduces demand for electric vehicles. The more electric vehicles there are on the market, the less gas demand there is, and the less demand for gas, the lower the price for oil, reducing demand for electric vehicles, and so on. GM is in the electrical vehicle making business too, but it should also be noted that GM buys zero emission credits from Tesla. Some automakers are selling electric vehicles at a loss to comply with the EPA's CAFE mileage standards. Trump has indicated he'll reduce the mileage requirement, which will give them less incentive to go electric. It also gives less incentive to make engines that need the higher octane ethanol fuel. The overall U.S. auto market appears to have peaked for this business cycle, and the outlook more guarded for auto sales this year. The Fed thinks that there are too many subprime auto loans. Rising rates add to the cost of financing. Extending maturities of auto loans to make them more affordable has limits. Delinquency rates and auto loans are rising. Ford thinks that sales will be lower this year and next. Moody's expects auto sales to plateau. Lease profitability has tightened from pressure on used car values. I would point out that stalling sales are in part a function of higher quality vehicles being produced. I am driving two vehicles with high mileage that I would certainly have traded off by now 20 years ago that are still good vehicles. 200,000 to 300,000 mileage on vehicles is not that unusual anymore. While in the 1970s, my Chevy Malibu self-destructed at 90,000 miles. E10 was selling for $2.35 a gallon here this week, while I was still filling with E30 for $1.99 a gallon. Same mileage, so why trade off that kind of economics? On the cattle. When feedlots refused to sell cattle lower, the product market turned up. Must be magic. The top of the product market was not the high of the cash cattle market. You only get to know things like that from a lot of experience. Feedlots who sold cash on call for $1.20 a couple of weeks ago, who put them on the shelf for packers, sold too cheap. That is what usually happens when packers buy cattle with delayed delivery. They only do that when they see numbers are tight and are pretty darn sure the market is going up. Packers killed 116,000 head Tuesday. I'll be surprised if they're not forced to reduce kills at some point. Such an action typically precedes the high. Another bit of advice as the cattle market forms a top is that cattle make tops, not bottoms. That means that cattle prices tend to consolidate, spending some time to make a top, while V-bottoms are more typical for the cattle market. The structure of the futures market continues to favor the bulls. The discount structure says to sell cattle now before prices drop. There is more incentive as feedlots can buy back fairly good break-evens. China has been buying beef from Canada, more specifically beta-agonist-free beef, certified by the Canadian Food Inspection Agency. The Canadian beef is also traceable back to the feedlot or ranch less than 30 months of age. We don't have anything like that. I have no idea what arrangement that they are working on with China to reopen the market to U.S. beef, but it will be hard to meet the conditions that Canada is meeting. It will be very much a surprise if we got a better deal from China than Canada. Free trade agreements with Korea have resulted in impressive increases in Korean pork imports. The U.S. is not exclusive with free trade agreements with Korea, competing with Canada, Chile, and the European Union for the Korean pork market. Korean pork imports from all suppliers increased 18% in February. Vice President Pence was in Japan talking trade agreement. I believe that Japan will offer TPP-like terms on U.S. ag imports. The ag sector is unlikely to get a better deal with Japan bilaterally than we would have gotten through TPP. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa, online at Comstock.com, or call 712-933-9400.